Welcome to the People Who Read People podcast with me, Zach Elwood. This is a podcast about understanding other people, the things they do and the things they say. You can learn more about this podcast and sign up for a premium ad-free subscription at peoplewhoreadpeople.com. In this episode, I'm going to read an essay I wrote back in 2022 about the strangeness of life and how our perception of that strangeness can impact us psychologically. This piece relates to existential psychology, mental illness, traumatic experience, and religious belief. If you enjoy this one, you might like some other episodes in the back catalog. For example, there's a talk with a physicist about free will, and there's a talk with existential psychologist Kirk Schneider about the awe and the terror of existence. The written piece includes some hyperlinks to various resources, which makes it a bit easier to make sense of some of the more obscure things that I reference in there. If you want to get a link to that, see the entry for this episode on the peoplewhoreadpeople.com site. A quick note, with the work on political polarization that I've done, I sometimes get people asking me, what news sources do you recommend? The news site I've been promoting lately is Tangle News. You can subscribe to it for free at readtangle.com. Tangle aims to be a nonpartisan news source. I'll say that I do enjoy reading news from people who I think are genuinely striving to be free of partisan bias. I talked to the creator of Tangle, Isaac Saul, for this podcast a while back, and so if you want to learn more about his work and why I think Tangle helps reduce toxic polarization, please listen to that talk. And again, you can sign up for free at readtangle.com. Okay, now I'll read a slightly edited version of my essay, which is titled Examining the Strangeness of Life as a Fundamental Existential Fear. This is a piece that examines the idea that our awareness of and anxiety about the strangeness of our existence may be a key type of stressor in existential psychology terms. This stressor might be considered to be situated alongside the four fundamental existential stressors, as categorized in Irvin Yalom's Existential Psychotherapy and in some other existential psychology works. These are the fear of death, fear of isolation, fear of freedom, and fear of meaninglessness. To be clear here, I'm not a psychologist. I'm interested in psychology, and I'm pretty well read in existential psychology specifically. I've also had my own experiences with mental illness, which I talk about in some of my podcast episodes, and that's a major reason why I'm interested in these topics. But I'm not a psychologist. These are just things I found myself thinking about, so I thought they might be of interest to other people. One of my reasons for putting these ideas out there is to see if they've been discussed elsewhere. So if you have seen these concepts discussed elsewhere in depth, I appreciate you letting me know. How is life strange? Before considering how a life is strange concept is a psychological stressor, let's first examine why it can be seen as a valid observation. This could be examined in many ways, but here are a few aspects that hopefully give you an idea of what I'm talking about. And even if you nitpick a few of these ideas or framings, hopefully the gist of the point comes through. One aspect, the physical world operates in ways that are non-intuitive and alien to our minds. For example, something strange must happen at the edges of the universe. Does it go on forever? Does space-time bend? Whatever the explanation is will be alien and strange to our minds. Another aspect, the nature of time, is clearly also non-intuitive and strange. How can there be a beginning of time? How can there be an end of time? How does it work exactly? Another aspect, quantum physics research has shown us how reality behaves in ways that are counterintuitive to human logic. For example, see the double slit experiment. Another aspect, our existence can seem extremely improbable for a number of reasons. In order for there to be consciousness, our universe, at least our region of it, must be finely tuned in many ways. For example, a world without gravity would never form things together. From a scientific perspective, leaving aside God and creator narratives, this would seem to suggest a universe with changeable, varying laws of physics, as discussed in multiverse theories or in ideas like the universe being a manifestation of math. There would need to be varying laws of physics in order to have created enough sets of rules where conscious beings could even have a chance of existing. It's possible to imagine a universe that would not generate a large enough set of different physical laws necessary for the complexity of consciousness to arise. when viewed from that angle, our existence can seem unlikely and bizarre. The idea that we could have formed randomly from inorganic compounds seems mind-boggling also. In a universe made up of inorganic components, how is it that life arises? How unlikely is that exactly? Another aspect, we tend to believe or feel that we have free will and control, and yet we live in a physical world where physical causes lead to physical effects. If we live in a physical world, how can there come to be an I that actually has control? The more you dig into the nature of your sense of I, the more illusory it can seem. For example, our internal thoughts largely come in the form of ideas or sentences that just pop into our minds unbidden, as if by magic. In what sense are my automatically generated thoughts me? Is there a me I'm not aware of and which I don't have control over? These are just a few ideas that hopefully make the point that there are many aspects of our existence that a rational person can see as strange. To kick this off, a personal story might help to illustrate how such anxieties can manifest. I dropped out of college in my sophomore year due to a so-called nervous breakdown. I had become increasingly anxious and dysfunctional, and I eventually reached the point where it felt like I was on the verge of losing my mind, or had maybe already lost my mind. I was fairly confident that I'd soon be living in a mental ward. All the details aren't that important for our discussion. If you're curious about that, though, I talk about that a bit at the start of a episode I did with Nathan Feiler. The relevant point here was that I focused a lot on the strangeness of existence at that time. A few examples of how this showed up. Before my breakdown, I'd become a bit obsessed with the strangeness of life. I was hanging out a lot in the school library, reading books on Eastern philosophy and spirituality, specifically Buddhism and meditation, and more obscure things like the contemplation of the horrible. I was interested in reaching some sort of transcendence. I'd tell myself that my awareness of the weirdness of the world was an indicator of my specialness or wisdom. This was, in hindsight, of course, due to me trying to compensate for how depressed and anxious I was. After I left college and was trying to recover mentally, everything appeared strange to me. I felt compelled to keep questioning reality. For example, I'd be walking in a field and I'd wonder things like, why do we assume there's earth and soil under our feet? For all I know, there's nothingness and abyss. No comforting assumptions about the world were taken for granted, and that was stressful. During one of the worst episodes, when I was watching a movie, I suddenly saw the actors, and humans generally, as essentially talking monkeys, as strange creatures living on a rock floating in the middle of space that had somehow learned through trial and error to create vocalizations using vibrations from their mouths, similar to other creatures. This was not a purely intellectual realization in a way like, that's an interesting way to look at things. It was a viscerally horrifying realization. It was a view of the world and the people in it as entirely alien, as seen for the first time. It was a view of human beings as disturbing freaks. I had suddenly lost the comforting conceptual boundaries that we usually draw between animal and human. That was one of several times I felt close to having a psychotic break. With my breakdown, it felt like the intellectual boundaries and categories that had previously protected me, those ideas of me and the world and the people around me, all being relatively simple and well-understood concepts, all those boundaries were shattered, or at least greatly tested. I lived for a while with a stark and painful realization of how strange and unreal and wild and terrifying the world really is. The idea of life's strangeness and how it can create stress is not a new idea. It's been widely talked about. Sartre and other existentialist thinkers have written passages about looking around and seeing the alienness of life, seeing the world through eyes that take nothing for granted, that see the world without aid of the comforting framings and narratives and assumptions that we previously had about our existence in the world. And psychologists and psychology thinkers talk about this too. For example, Jeffrey Abigail's books about derealization and depersonalization talk about how people with those issues can see and feel existence and themselves as strange and off in various ways. This can make them focused on the strangeness of life. Psychologist Kirk Schneider writes about the experience of awe. In one interview, he referred to the, quote, radical mystery of being, and one can be horrified by it and overwhelmed, but you can also be fascinated with it and see it as awesome and not just horrifying and overwhelming, end quote. What seems less examined to me is that this strangeness might be viewed as a fundamental aspect of existence and a fundamental source of existential fear, alongside the four fears often seen as key, for example, in Yalom's book, Existential Psychotherapy. Those are the fear of death, fear of isolation, fear of freedom, fear of meaninglessness. If it were to be fit alongside these other core fears, it might be termed a fear of life's strangeness, or maybe a fear of life's creepiness. A note here, I cut out some stuff here that was about objections, that a fear of life's strangeness might be seen as a subset of one of the other existential fears. For example, one might argue the only reason life's strangeness would bother you is if you were suffering from isolation. So in the written piece, I went into some detail about how one could imagine someone having a fear of life's strangeness while not having the other fears, or having the other fears without having a fear of life's strangeness. So I went through some arguments to show how they could be seen as separate concepts. If you'd like to read that, see the written piece. A connection to religious beliefs. I'd argue that the perception that life is strange can be seen as the source of some religious feelings. I'd argue that some of the religious epiphanies that people are capable of, especially the more emotional and stressful ones, are similar in many ways to my nervous breakdown, similar in the sense that both might be seen to involve a realization of how strange and inexplicable the world is. Such visceral realizations of the world's strangeness can push us in different directions. For example, they might push some people toward depression or even madness. For others, those feelings of existential pain, or even just being in a state of awe and amazement that doesn't lend itself to normal day-to-day functioning, might pressure them to produce an explanation that serves to resolve those intense feelings. That God exists, or that a specific religion is real, that their abnormal emotional train of thought was a sign that they were having a religious epiphany. Hopefully it's clear here that I'm not denigrating religious belief. I think that realizing the strangeness of existence can lead one in a rational way to believe in a higher power, or at least to believe that such things aren't out of the realm of possibility. And the fact that there can be emotionally neutral or even positive aspects from being aware of the strangeness of life maybe helps make the case that it can be viewed as its own concept or dimension, as separate from other existential stressors. A connection to trauma. Examining an awareness of life's strangeness as its own type of stressor can perhaps help us make sense of some people's experiences after trauma. For example, when people experience traumatic things, they'll often report the world feeling unreal afterwards. There can be elements of derealization. And why does that happen? One explanation is that that person's view about the world and their place in it has been shaken. They have suddenly been forced to come face to face with some core existential stressors, such as fear of death or fear of meaninglessness. For example, thinking things like, if such a thing can happen to people, how can life be meaningful? Or fear of freedom, thinking things like, if such a thing can happen to people, I have to be even more responsible for myself than I realized. And I'd argue that trauma, especially traumas that happen suddenly, can force someone to come face to face with the fact that life is strange. One can have various experiential conceptions of the world as being relatively simple, as relatively orderly, as relatively safe. These can be under-the-hood conceptions and narratives about the world that were built up since childhood. Conceptions of the world as being mostly coherent and fair that were never before tested in a major way. For example, having unexamined inner assumptions like, I know horrible things are possible, but I don't really feel they'd really happen to me. These kinds of framings. And when trauma happens, these conceptions of the world can be broken. One may be forced to see the world as it really is, wild and chaotic and awe-inspiring, and also terrifying, from certain angles. These might be aspects of life that someone intellectually is aware of beforehand, but that were not really viscerally felt or experienced as true until the trauma occurred. This might be seen as related to the "there are no atheists in foxholes" saying. Being put in an abnormal, existentially stressful situation can change a person's way of experiencing the world drastically, in ways that it's hard to foresee. If such factors are a part of trauma effects, in order to heal, people negatively impacted by trauma we'll have to come to terms with these ideas and other existential truths in some way. And theoretically, that healing may involve religious belief as a way to channel and make sense of such feelings. Or else it might involve reaching a personal philosophy that makes sense of those existential concepts. Or maybe it might involve self-medicating with drugs or alcohol to mask that pain. Or maybe it will involve forms of mental dysfunction that function as ways of coping with and avoiding that pain. Peripheral or unconscious awareness of life's strangeness. I think it's possible for life is strange stressors to be present even for people who don't consciously think much about these topics. I think most people have an intuitive sense of how strange the world is. For example, the fundamental weirdness of space and time, and how there are anxiety-producing threats lurking in those waters, even while those stresses may be largely unexamined consciously. On psychosis and delusions. There could be a relationship between one's perception that life is strange and one's likelihood to be psychotic or delusional. For one thing, when one sees the world or one's existence as strange, other strange explanations and theories can come to seem more plausible. When one looks around and perceives a wild world full of inexplicable and unlikely people and things, there is less internal demand for things to abide by logic and cause and effect. All things of all sorts start to seem more possible, more plausible. Some people, in realizing life's mystery and strangeness, are more likely to believe in unscientific, not evidence-based ideas, like astrology or the healing power of crystals. Perhaps some delusional and psychotic ideations could be seen as related to the same lower demand for or expectation of coherence. For another thing, the more strange one perceives one's environment, the more likely it may seem that there is something planned and unnatural about that environment. This may be a factor in making people more likely to have, for example, the Truman Show delusion, or other delusions that involve aspects of one's world or the people in it being artificial or constructed, or involving people or forces manipulating one's life. Such delusions can be seen as a way to make sense of a world that seems too inexplicable and improbable and downright strange for it to have natural, organic origins. For someone who is not feeling well emotionally, perception of their world being strange can lead them down various dysfunctional and deluded ways of thinking about and perceiving the world. Practical applications of this idea. What's the practically useful takeaway from these ideas? I think that for people who seem to be suffering from these sorts of thoughts, there may be practical value in talking about the fact that the world is fundamentally strange. In the same way, it can be helpful to talk about the other existential fears. In Yalom's Existential Psychotherapy, he talked about how therapists are often strangely hesitant to talk about existential ideas. Therapists seem to often have concerns that talking about such open-ended and unsolvable challenges won't help a patient, or might actually make things worse. And of course, that may be true for some fragile people. But proponents of existential therapy would say that these are often the important things we could be talking about, and other forms of therapy may be helpful, but may often be fairly superficial if they're not tackling these more primary stresses. And I think that discussion of life's strangeness could be useful in therapy if it's perceived that these kinds of ideations and perceptions may be a factor in someone's emotional pain. There can be a big value, a calming sense of relief, to being able to put words to these kinds of fears, to know that one is not alone in thinking such things. That's the value of existential psychology ideas, I think. When I think back to my own troubles as a young man, I do believe that if someone had talked to me about the specific existential fears and terrors that were troubling me, it would have helped me a lot, and that belief is one reason I want to share these thoughts. That was my piece that I wrote in 2022 that was titled Examining the Strangeness of Life as a Fundamental Existential Fear. I'm Zachary Elwood, and this is the People Who Read People podcast. You can learn more about it and sign up for a premium ad-free subscription at peoplewhoreadpeople.com.